And now Jack's going to introduce our speaker. What does John become next week? Go ahead, Jack.
Hi there. Evening, everybody. I'm still Jack. It's my great Eric Galton asked me if I would introduce Betty Ann. I actually gave him her phone number so that he could ask her to come and talk with you guys.
Yeah,
tonight.
Sure.
And I did. I want to credit Betty Ann. I will tell you, I go way back with Betty Ann and Bob way, way back. For about 10 years, my wife and I drugged my mother-in-law to meetings and conferences and sober vacations. And then Betty Ann asked me to speak at her group. And my mother-in-law was there and she said, wait a minute, you're not a member of Al-Anon? And she said, well, no. She says, that's over. Come with me. And she grabbed my mother-in-law and drug her off to the literature table and started filling her arms with books and told her she's coming to Nebraska. She better have a meeting in the home group. She's coming in 2 weeks. My mother-in-law joined Al-Anon. Betty Ann is Al-Anon's version of the original unstoppable force. It is my great privilege to present to you guys tonight, my friend Betty Ann Z.
Oh my gosh, you guys. Thank you so much.
Hey, good evening, now, Betty. How would you like the time?
Well, how much time do I have?
Oh, I don't know. You got like 40 minutes at least.
How do I get the...
Until 25 after 8, Betty Ann.
Okay. And how do I get to the speaker view?
Upper right corner where it says view, click on that and then click on gallery. So you can see.
Wait a minute.
Top right.
It says on his computer, it says switch to gallery view.
That's what you want.
Okay. Then I'm on gallery view, but I'm not on the big screen. Is that okay?
We can see you.
Yeah, we see.
You can hear me now. I got onto Bob's computer. My name is Bob Zetz. I'm an alcoholic. Jesus. I'm Betty Ann Zetz, and I'm a grateful member of the Tradition 5 groups in Woodland Hills and also the Al-Anon Parent Focus groups in Westlake Village. And great birthday.
You wanted big?
Yeah, I wanted big, but we'll see the alcoholic show me. Yeah, Jack and his Leslie are big, not me.
Oh. Push on you.
I don't know how to push on me. I used to remember how you used to push me. But anyway, I'm so grateful to not only to be here, but it's been a long time since I've seen all of you and seen a lot of guys here. And happy birthday to everyone. I think that's the greatest gift of all that we have is birthdays, that recognition, that acknowledgement. And I also want to say happy birthday to Lois Wilson, who I got to spend, Bob and I got to spend many years with her during the 80s, and especially before she passed. And we had a great relationship with her and Ann Bingham, who is retired in Santa Paula, who is the other co-founder of Al-Anon. And I think what's really great tonight is to see Jack, because I knew him when he came in. He was a mess. Leslie was fine, but Jack was a mess. And I look at all the people that are here and Willie, what the hell is going on with Willie? I didn't even know he's married, but he's, you know, Willie, oh my God, I saw him come into the program too. I can't believe how he's progressed. That's wonderful. But all of you and Gordy and what's her name? Anyway, it's so good to see all of you. And it's really good. This meeting is kind of like one of the great meetings in the U.S. because of the fact is that not only is it all men, but you absolutely love us. You love us in a very special way, the women in Al-Anon and the Al-Ateens also in Al-Anon. But you guys have something that a lot of places, and Jack knows this, and Gordy knows this, all of us that go around the world and around the states or whatever, but, you know, to conferences, conventions, and when we all know what it's like here, and it's the best Al-Anon. Even from Texas, it's the best Al-Anon. And even when I spent that time in Texas. And I want to tell you something, too. When I look at all the guys in here, and I look at my grandbabies that are here and some of the girls I sponsored, I look at the fact is that, again, what a privilege it says to belong to this fellowship. not only a privilege, but I think that it's got something that spiritually connects us. Because when I came in the program, I was humiliated. And I loved what one of the birthday guys talked about. You know, you come in here, they talk about being humble, but they can't, you know, I didn't come in humble. I came in really humiliated. And I was arrogant, you know, smart and self-righteous and all that, and loud, and used bad language, which once in a while I do. But no, you know, but one of the things I look at is not only the couples here, but all the guys that came here and came because they surrendered. They surrendered to the alcoholic, or even if their kids are in the program or not in the program with addiction and alcoholism. You know, Al-Anon is made for all of us. One of the great gifts that I have here, when I forced Bob to make a free decision 45 years ago, and I've got more time than he does. But anyway, when I forced him to make that free decision, it was the, I think, you know, I can still feel that pain. I could still feel what was in my gut. And I love the third step because it says, you know, made a decision. I couldn't make a decision if my life depended on it, especially made a decision. So all of you that are new, the guys that were new tonight, and the women that took birthday cakes tonight, how precious that is of the men to be, that we are part of that birthday. I don't know, John, that's pretty crazy. But anyway, but it's special. It's special, you know why? Because it's traditional to your meeting. And that's what's really special. Like our meeting on Friday night, we do birthdays. Well, we don't do that cake. Jesus, we're going to have to find something else. But, you know, again, you guys have something that's really special. And that's what really attracts us, you know, not only the guys that come to this meeting on a regular basis. My sponsor, Sally, always said, you can be a regular member of the group and call yourself a group and own your chair if you're here 75% of the time and that you're of service. My late sponsor, Sally, God bless her soul, and Bob's late sponsor, Keith. But all of us know that when we come in here. And to see the couples here that are continuing, you know, to be in AA and Al-Anon or Al-Anon and Al-Anon, you know, that's what Lois dreamed of. That's, well, she dreamed it long before we came in. And that's what Ann Bingham thought of. They loved it. They loved Al-Anon. Lois loved AA. And so did Ann. But, you know, again, you know, we have a legacy here and that you guys have created with your group. And so, like the Tradition 5 group, I remember one time they said, well, you can't have the big book, you know, on speaker night. You can't, you know, sell the big book or give it away even or whatever. And we said, oh, well, you know, it's up to the autonomy of the group. And we took a vote, you know, 30 years ago or 29 years ago, whatever it was. And they voted to do that. And that's what is traditional to our group. And I really learned that from, you know, from what's his name? I'll remember it in just a minute. I'm losing my mind, you guys, but because I'm taking care of Bob. But anyway, what are the great books too that, thank you. One of the great books that, you know, we finally got. And when I came in the program, we only had the one day at a time. And it was only 8 years old. I didn't know that at the time because I've been in the program 6 years. I'm 46 years. But, you know, it's really interesting because all our literature, all our books, and even for the men, is written by us. And it's edited by us, you know. And it's all our experience, strength, and hope. And I think that's the greatest gift that we have is literature and our daily readers. Because I've been reading that lately, and I read something on my birthday in December, and it's about which, you know, I hope you bookmark it or whatever you do. And I put 2020, my birthday. I was convinced that I had to take care of everything and everybody. I had no choice. But with the help of Al-Anon, I've learned that while I do have responsibilities, there are also many things I do not have to do. And it says, I don't have to understand everything. I don't have to be reluctant to show my feelings. I'm just giving you the cheat sheet here. I don't have to feel threatened by the future, which is good for us this last year. I don't have to feel guilty about the past. I don't have to feel alone. I can go to a meeting, which is tonight, is such a grace for us. I don't have to take responsibility for other people's choices. I don't have to give up on my hopes and dreams. And I think that's what really hit me tonight, is because of my my relationship, not only with a higher power, which I call God today, but my relationship with all of you and the relationship with my children. I have 5 children. I don't know why. And I'm trying to figure that out, especially as they're all adults in their 50s and, well, and 40s and 50s. And, you know, I have a daughter. I have a daughter who was a twin. And when she was 3 months old, I lost her twin to SIDS when Bob and I were in Reno when we came in the program. And we lost her to SIDS. And, you know, that's another illness that Allison had that is still stumps, you know, families. And, you know, you were there. I was only in the program 2 years, and I was pregnant those first 2 years with my son, JR, who flew out from Michigan tonight. And the reason I tell you my family story is because that's part of, you know, all of us that have a spiritual change with our families, you know. And I tell you, everyone was there. And my son flew out tonight from Michigan. I haven't seen him in 5 years. Because he was married to an alcoholic and an addict, and has 2 of my grandchildren. And I had to work a program the last 10 years more than I ever had to work in my life. And because I shouldn't say it, but she's evil. No. But you know, I had to spiritually look at her in fact, because she never talks to us, whatever. But that detachment had to be on a spiritual detachment. And I had to realize that my son had a huge part in this, you know, in that marriage and that divorce finally, and going to jail over it. You know, guys go to jail, you know, and not for domestic violence, but they go to jail because, you know, sometimes they get involved with trying to help the alcoholic, and the alcoholic doesn't want that help. So the alcoholic called the cops, and my son went to jail. And, you know, again, he had Allotene. Willie remembered it. He had Allotene. My son had Allotene. My daughter had Allotene. My other two girls had Allotene. They had a spiritual path. They had a place where we all go. No matter whether your kids are using or not, or drinking or not, or whatever, they always, and Amy tells me this all the time, she said, you know, because you and Dad are in the program, she goes, I knew that eventually that I was going to be okay, because you guys were okay with my using and being out there for all these years. She's been clean for 2 years, and she made a decision on her own, I mean, to go to a place out of the country. And it's very simple, very simple program. And it's 95% Spanish ladies that are there. And so what I did is that I set her up on Zoom, the English speaking girls on their clinic, and they go to AA meetings on Zoom from Ensenada. That's one of the privileges that we have, that we can help our kids and in a way that we, like Bob always said, we can help them help themselves, you know, and I can do something like that and feel good about it. You know, not feel guilty anymore, but what we did wrong, or what the addict or alcoholic tells us, you know, you weren't a good mother, you went to too much AA, you went to too much Al-Anon, you know, you weren't there for us, but they've been to conferences and conventions and snowboarding all over the world, you know, Hawaii to conferences. I mean, wait a minute. It took me a long time to have some self-worth about that we were good parents. We were good parents. We did our best. And it wasn't because, like Bob Earl said one time, wasn't because, you know, we did our best. You know, it's like Bill Wilson always said, you know, we just can't do better. We have to do more than most people do. We just can't do our best. But anyway, you know, again, all these family situations over all these years of being in the program have come to some resolve for Bob and I. And for all of you, that you can look forward to. It's everything can be resolved here through the steps, through the traditions that we use in our family and in our marriage and in our couples meeting. All these things can be resolved through that. And if you're here tonight and you're really a little confused, and but you're hurting and you have a lot of pain, don't leave here tonight without calling one of these guys. Don't leave here tonight without reaching out to someone if you haven't reached out. Don't leave here tonight and if you don't have a sponsor. You know, you don't have to have a sponsor, but you've got to make a decision. And that's made a decision, not make a decision. You know, I think that was the greatest gift that I had. You know, after the baby died in Reno, my family was very, you know, it was very difficult for all of us. But you know what? My three older girls were going to Alateen, you know, I had a sponsor, Shirley, who's passed away many years ago. God bless her. I think I'm getting tired of my sponsors dying on me. But, you know, they were there for a reason, because they're, you know, they have a legacy with Al-Anon and with Lois and Bill and Dr. Bob. We all have a legacy. And especially I know Jack and Gordy and all of us that have been to, Mimi, we've been to the internationals. You know, I think that's the greatest gift that we have, is to be able to, I hope all you guys go to Albuquerque in a couple of years, because that was when I first saw Lois, you know, in New Orleans. And we'd only been in the program, you know, a year, I think it was a year and a half or whatever. No, more than that, I'm sorry, 6 years. And we were living in Dallas. And to see, you know, 60,000 people stand up on Sunday morning and clap for 40 minutes till your hands are raw, that's your roots. That's your legacy. That's what, you know, I asked her one time when we were at the house on Stepping Stones, I said, hey, Lois, I said, what do you think Bill would, you know, would he roll over in his grave if he knew what was going on in AA and Al-Anon? She goes, no, he'd be really excited about it. I went, oh, okay. But, you know, those are the gifts that we have of the solidarity of the program, because those are what the traditions do. Just like this meeting, you know, you guys have something that's traditional that most meetings, you know, I won't go into that anymore. But, you know, after that loss of our daughter, and we took our kids and we moved to Dallas, and I had great program there for 6 years. I loved Dallas. And they're the type of people in Dallas, and a lot of you know that, you do the steps on your knees, you know, so it gets pretty intense. They're very God loving, which is great. We loved it, you know, because we were naive. And plus, not only that, we were raised with a higher power in the program. You know, we were raised and it didn't make us uncomfortable, you know, to go off with your sponsor and get on your knees and pray and do all this kind of stuff. You know, or to do the steps in the couples meeting, you know, those are the things that, you know, will keep you in good stead. It'll really keep you in good stead, no matter where you live or what your situation is. But you don't have to do it alone. And I can remember them saying to us, Bob and I had a very difficult time in our marriage, and we had a difficult time with our kids. And when they were, you know, Alateens and preteens and, you know, whatever. But the one thing that stuck with us always is to do exactly what our sponsors told us. We get up, we show up, we shut up, especially me, and, you know, we clean up. But we, you know, we are part of something that's bigger than all of us. You know, that's what really, I mean, when I was in Europe and traveling through Croatia, Bob's family's island of Hvar, I mean, to see people in AA and Split, I mean, you know, to see Al-Anons come in to the convention in Split, and they don't even speak English, and their books are not in English, you know, and to see the privilege that we have, you know, that we can, you know, and to see one of the gals that I sponsor, she's an actress, and she's Croatian, and what she did is that she took the One Day at a Time book. And what she did is she translated it all into English, but it was on like big pieces of paper, 8x10 paper. And so this is years ago, and she took it there. And then when we were there at the meeting, this was the greatest gift that I had, was that this meeting in Split, everybody spoke Croatian except Ennis and I. And it was really interesting because they were talking about, you know, the Courage to Change book. And I said, well, how did you guys, you know, what do you do with that book? Because there's like 40 Al-Anons that showed up, you know, out of Split. And they said, oh, what we do is that we pass it around to everybody, all these pieces of paper, you know? And she said, we break it up in months and then you can have it for a month and then the next person. And so by the time that it all gets through, they all have that. And they use that kind of like as their format for meetings. You know, everybody is seeking something. And that's what I saw, was the fact is that I can be so humbled, you know, by them reaching out. And they have a terrible time in regards to addiction and alcoholism in Croatia. And they were very frustrated, you know, by that. But when they heard our stories and they heard our tapes or our CDs, you know, like from all of us that speak, you know, they were just like thrilled. Even if they don't understand it, they're still thrilled. One of the things too that happened for us in Dallas is that my husband had we had the international coming up in New Orleans, and we had no money. Bob had lost his deal. And I'll tell you how the program works. I went to this hairdresser and I'd saved for like, because we couldn't go to Denver because I was pregnant with JR. So we saved for 5 years, little bits of money, you know, to go to New Orleans. And Duffy was there in New Orleans and Clancy and a bunch of, you know, AA speakers and John Ackerman and Karen, all these wonderful, you know, people that have shared before us, you know, that have really guided us through that. But anyway, so the night before we were supposed to leave, we were going to go in my clown station wagon. And Bob and I, and the kids were all taken care of for the week. And we, you know, in the middle of the night, I get a call from my hairdresser, and I'd been there the day before. And she called me and she goes, are you going to that AA thing you told me about? And I said, yes. She goes, well, can I go? I said, well, yeah, what's going on? You know, she goes, well, my husband's an alcoholic. He's really a drunk, bad drunk. And she said, he just threw me out and I have no clothes on, out of this really nice house by Beverly Burnett's house, in fact. And I said, oh, well, we'll be right over. So by the time we got over there, he threw out a leather coat. And, you know, it's really interesting, this leather coat. But anyway, to make a long story short, we got stuck in Shreveport in the middle of the night. The car went, and so all of a sudden these people showed up, the sheriff. But he didn't have a sheriff's suit on. He showed up with another kid and they fixed our car for free because they asked us, where are y'all going? We said, New Orleans for the AA convention. And he went, oh boy, do we need that. But, you know, but the gift of that is when we got to New Orleans, we had one night in the Al-Anon Hotel downtown New Orleans. One night we had paid for. And then we had to go down into the French Quarter. And we were in this terrible room. And, you know, it's July in New Orleans. It's terrible. And, but anyway, we didn't care. Karen was with us and all this. And I gave her some of my daughter's clothes and all this. And so we were pulling our money together. And I said, oh, we don't have too much money. And she goes, I know. And so she took that coat, that big long leather coat of his, and she said, I don't need this. And she put her hands in the pocket and out popped American Express card. We had a wonderful weekend. God knows. We had a wonderful weekend, you know, and that's where we met all of you from Southern California. That's where we met all of you. And I tell you, that was Bob Lemke and his wife. I mean, we met all the Southern California people, and that's where we wanted to come to. And, you know, so 41 years ago, whatever, we moved to Los Angeles and it was difficult. It was hard. My kids went up to Seattle to live with their dad, my ex-husband. But you know what? Again, my daughter belongs in Al-Anon. She's in Al-Anon. Kimberly is. And a lot of you know her and her husband, Tommy. been in the program a long time. She counts her time, you know, with my time, 46 years. But, you know, and she's very active in Al-Anon in Reno and very, you know, she's got great friends. My granddaughter now, Olivia, went through college on a volleyball scholarship, and she became a pharmacist in Reno. And everybody's come home. You know, there's certain things that happen without our, involvement, that we can really show that we're consistent about the program and about the steps and about our sponsorship and about our fellowship and being with each other. But anyway, it was pretty tough for us, you know, those first years, you know, living with an alcoholic and, it's tough. It's tough financially, physically, you know, whatever. And, everything that kept us in good stead was, you know, not only the couples meeting, but our meetings, you know, starting the Tradition 5 meeting, Catalina, 4-step, all the things that you guys do. Those are the things that really kept us in the fellowship, and it kept us working a program. And when I came out here, I had to get another sponsor, you know, because my sponsor, Shuey, passed. And I got Sally Carpenter. And I'll tell you, that was a trip. My husband got her husband, Keith. That was a trip. So the two of us, we had, you know, a couple of sponsors. And, you know, I can remember an incident. How long do I have anyway? I'm sorry. I'm kind of carrying on here with this story, this sad story.
You have until 8:25.
Okay. What time is it?
Right now it's 3 after 3. And now I'll post the sign. You have 5 minutes at 8:20, okay?
Oh, thanks, Diego. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
But anyway, I remember when this is, I really didn't want her as a sponsor, you know, but we met at San Fernando Valley Convention. Al Myers was there from Dallas, and he introduced Bob to this great big guy, Keith Carpenter, and you know, I was, you know, I came here in December, and then February we had San Fernando Valley Convention. And anyway, so Bob said, you need to ask her to be your sponsor. And I went, I don't know about that. But anyway, it was the best thing I ever did. But I can remember she had a command, as a lot of you know, of the English language. She was one of those Al-Anons named that she can, it's like, what's her name, says the psychiatrist, the psychologist, you know, Annie Chase. She says, you know, I can see in my patients when I first meet them, I can see what the problem is way before they could see it. And that's what Sally saw. She had that vision of working with me, not only that, and a lot of other ladies. And, you know, that's the specialness. And I heard that tonight from your sponsors and the respect that you have for your sponsors. But you know what? She was mean. And, you know, I can remember one time I had to go into Tarzana. They lived in Tarzana. I had to go into Tarzana and get this, my eyes checked or whatever. And so I went to this, I don't know, I think he was a fake doctor or whatever. But anyway, I went to the ophthalmologist, and he dipped my eyes up and all that. And then he said, come back in an hour. And I'm like, that's weird. But anyway, I came back in an hour, and he sat me down, and he goes, well, you're going to go blind. I'm going to go blind. And he said, yes. And this is before cell phones or anything like that. And he said, so you're going to have to come back in and do these treatments. I mean, I was just completely in shock. I mean, I'm a young woman, you know, here I am going to go blind. So anyway, I can remember staggering out of there, not drunk. And I remember going up the hill to Sally's house, you know, in Keith's house. And I remember knocking on the door, and I could see her at the kitchen table, just like Lois. I could see her at the kitchen table, and she had the phone, and she was talking on the phone. She always talked on the phone, and had a big long cord. And she looked up and went, you know, like that. I'm like, I gotta tell her. And so I finally, she's, you know, told me to come in, and I went in, and she was smoking a cigarette, talking on the phone to somebody that she sponsors. And I thought, oh my God, I'm gonna die. She's got to listen, get off the phone. I'm thinking that in my head, right? That bitch needs to get off the phone and listen to me, you know, not smug, arrogant. But anyway, she finally got off the phone, and she sat down like the table like I'm on right now, a small table. And she goes, you want a cup of coffee? I said, no, I don't drink coffee. She goes, oh, well, what are you doing here? I said, you won't believe this, Sally. I told her about the doctor and I'm going to go blind. And she just leaned back, smoked that cigarette. And she goes, can I have your color TV? You know, I mean, she treated it like Elsa Chamberlain always said, with a light touch. And I thought, that bitch, I can't believe that she would say that. You know, but that's the greatest. She goes, you're not going blind. Forget about it. That, you know, go have a second opinion. And, you know, I never did go blind. But I wear glasses now. But, you know, again, I have all sorts of stories like that. And especially with 12-step calls, you guys. You know, I really miss 12-step calls, especially on the Zoom and all that kind of stuff, or the newcomer coming into the meeting. But I could tell you about Shirley one time when I was pregnant with JR. We lived in Georgetown, California, which is right outside of Auburn, California. And you have to go down the American River and all this kind of stuff. Anyway, we lived in Georgetown, but we used to drive all the way down, Bob and I, on Thursday nights and go to the Thursday night meeting in Auburn, California. And that's where my sponsor, Shirley, was. And her sponsor's name was Shirley. They both smoked. And but anyway, this one night I was big and pregnant. And we go, you know, and then afterwards, after the meeting, the Thursday night meeting, Alan and me, everybody went over to their house, which you guys, we still do. Thank you, God. But anyway, we go to the house really fast and I'll get over this. But anyway, she picked me out that night. She goes, Betty Ann, come with me. I went, you know. We get in the car and she's smoking a cigarette, blowing it out the window. And I'm telling her about Bob. What about Bob? You know, he's not doing this, not doing that. And, you know, da 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 da. And the kids are, you know. Anyway, all of a sudden I look up and we're at the grocery store. So what the hell is this? We get out and I'm pushing the cart, not her. I'm pushing the cart. She's throwing stuff in there like crazy. And then we get in checkout and we got a couple bags, 3-4 bags of groceries. And then all of a sudden, you know, she drives in the bad part of Auburn, California, off the, you know, the freeway there, in this bad part of town. And we roll up with the lights off. I thought, oh my God, she's gonna kill me. You know, it's the hatchet or something. Anyway, we rolled up. And I looked over and I saw this big plate glass window in this little house. And there was no lights on, but there was a lantern. And Shirley said, okay, get out of the car. And she said, I want you to get back seat and get those two, you know, grocery bags. And there's an envelope on the top. Run over there. Run. I'm 9 months pregnant. She's run over there to the front door, put down the grocery bags, knock on the door, and then run back. And you know what? I did it. And so I go over there and I could see her with this new baby. She was at the meeting that night. She was kind of like one of those hippie girls and made her own Birkenstocks or whatever. She had a new baby on the breast and, you know, the lights were off and her little 2-year-old was there. And I found out at the meeting, I remembered, oh my God, it's not about me, because her husband was drunk and he put, so she wouldn't take the car. He did something with the car or whatever. But anyway, I was watching this like I'm watching a movie, whatever. And all of a sudden I saw him come through the back door, drunker than a skunk, right? And he comes and starts yelling at her, you know, what the hell, you know, where's the lights, you know, and all this. And she said, you know what? Tonight, they turned off all the lights and the electricity and the heat and all that. And while you were gone, she didn't nag at him. She didn't scold him. She didn't do anything. You know, I would have killed him. But anyway, she was just so humble. You know, I knew that later that she had a lot of compassion. And, you know, the point of it is that all of a sudden he looked really bad. And then he said, there's a knock on the door, open the door. And so I'm running back and jump in the car and Shirley and I drive off. We never said a word. And just for today, we'll not say anything about what we've done. But the point of it is that the next Thursday night, I couldn't wait to get that meeting to see that hippie girl. She came to the meeting and she said, you won't believe this. What happened to me last Thursday night when I had to walk home from the meeting, and then an Al-Anon lady stopped and picked me up and took me home with the baby. And she said, I had no money, no groceries, the electric was all turned off. And my husband was so humiliated by it that he, you know, he's upstairs tonight in the AA meeting. And she said, there was an envelope there that paid for all my electricity and my gas. And all the groceries had all the diapers and the formula and the baby stuff and all that. And she said, you know, that was something that, you know, she said, I could never imagine. And, you know, years later, when I went back to Auburn, I was sharing up there in Northern California, and I went back to Auburn. I found out about Jan, and Jan and her husband have been in the program for 20-something years. And those kids were older. And, you know, what a grace to be touched by that. And that's what I see today, and I see tonight, and I see in all the Zoom meetings that people are coming in Zoom, is that you can experience something like that if you keep, not only keep coming back, but if you use those steps, you use that sponsor, you use your group, you know, you be part of something that's bigger than yourself. And that's the greatest gift that you have. A lot of great experiences we've all had, really, on 12-step calls, or we've had, you know, God shots or things like that. But I'll tell you something, that basis of Al-Anon, when I came in Reno, you know, and I came in October, Bob was laying on the front lawn, you know, freezing, but he had enough VO in him, so he, you know, couldn't get up. And, but I remember the humiliation of, you know, my neighbor coming over at 5 o'clock in the morning going, what the hell, who's on your lawn? And covered up with leaves, of course. And I said, it's none of your business. Now, for God, I was wearing my Frederick the Hollywood outfit, you know, because, you know, we want to look better, sexy enough, clever enough to solve the problem for the one we love. And you know, what was really interesting about that is that I said, get off my lawn, go back into your hole, you know, because the security guy sat right outside of Harold Smith's wife's house, who was an alcoholic. But anyway, he guarded that house every night. So years later, when I was in Reno, Shirley told me, she goes, hey, Betty Ann, did you ever make amends to that guy, the security guy? He was on your list. Now, how do sponsors remember that shit? I can't believe that. I said, what? She goes, yeah, the guy that sat out there in that little car and saw everything that was going on in your house. And I said, well, I'm sure he's not at the security company. She goes, well, you know, look at Whittlesey Cab. Look at the crap you did with Whittlesey Cab. That was on your list. I had to make amends with Whittlesey Cab too. But anyway, and I love Father Terry's story about amends. But anyway, so she said, don't come in the marathon meeting until you call that security company. And of course, remember the name of the security company. So I called the security company, and this was on my list. It's part of making a direct amends. And I can remember calling the security company, and they said, you know, Allied Security. And I said, hi, this is Betty Ann Setz. And I said, I'm just calling to see if John is there. And of course, I knew he wasn't, you know, been years. And they go, yeah, he is here. He just came on shift. I went, oh, really? So anyway, he comes to the phone. I was panicked. I was really panicted because this was a real direct event. I said, John, this is Betty Ann Setz. He goes, I know who you are. I said, I lived in Patrick Avenue. And he goes, I know you lived in Patrick Avenue. He said, is your husband alive? I said, yes. Anyway, I had to, you know, I made amends. I said, I really make amends. He says, you don't have to make amends to me, Betty Ann. He said, I love that night shift. That was the best shift in Reno, is at your house. And, you know, so, I mean, that came out good or whatever. But, you know, over the years, I have to remember all those wonderful, wonderful amends, all those wonderful steps, you know, that bring us in closer together with not only our God, but all to all of you that we can identify. There's something, my sponsor Shirley told me, someday somebody's going to come in the meeting and tell you a story. And I waited 8 years for that. 8 years till some lady came in the meeting and told my story. Very close, very close. And she's still a friend of mine. But anyway, that's part of the steps. You know, I know that I had a very difficult time with the third step because I had to go on to the fourth. And so what I did is that, you know, I had to get into, you know, get out of self-will, get into free will, and get into God's will. And I had to turn it over. I have, you know, instead of making a decision, I made a decision when Amy first went to jail, when Amy went to prison, when Amy, you know, called me in the middle of the night from, you know, some Vegas or whatever. Mommy, mommy, please help me. You know, for a number of years, I had to make a decision, but then I had to make a decision to turn my will and my life over, but I had to turn her over. I had to turn her over to her own God. And you know what? My daughter today respects that. She respects the fact, and which brought so much fear to me. And you know, fear is, you know, false evidence appearing real. No, fear is fear. It's real. It's really real. And many times, and you know, especially when she went to jail the first time and we had to go downtown LA and to see her, because, you know, our sponsor said, no, you gotta go, she's in jail. And you know what I did? I took all the Al-Anon literature with me. They don't like that, you know, the jail guys do. But anyway, I left literature now. And what I did is that I also, you know, they humiliate you. I can remember finally going through, we show our license, and they started on me about the license and all this. Anyway, I very calmly used my Al-Anon language. Instead of saying F you, I just said, you're right, you're right. This is very interesting. And but anyway, we finally got to go through. And we got in the elevator with all these families with their kids, their little kids. And we go up to, and I could see other couples, maybe that were our age, that their son or daughter was in jail downtown LA. And we got up, finally got up, and I don't know what floor it was, but anyway, we got off, and it's not nice. They're not nice, you know, but we are. And God will serve us away. But anyway, so what happened was that I watched my daughter come around, you know, in her orange jumpsuit, and she came to that thick window. I don't know if some of you have been in that position, but anyway, they came to that thick window. And that's the first time that I really accepted my powerlessness. And I really accepted step two in sanity. Sanity means to restore the same thinking. I had to quit thinking, you know. And Amy came up to the window, and I can remember putting her hand on that thick glass and saying to me, mommy, mommy, I'm so sorry. I love you guys so much. And I can remember, you know, 2 days ago when I got to talk on the WhatsApp with my daughter in her place where she has all the 8 girls, you know, that are on the Zoom AA meetings. And she says, mommy, mommy, I love you. I told her I was going to be on this meeting tonight. And she goes, oh, tell Jack. I'm like, why tell him anything? She goes, well, tell him. He's always, you know, I always love his talk. I said, oh, please don't give me that, you know. And she knows Gordy, of course. And I mean, it's just a miracle, you guys, that what we have here is there's nothing else. Whatever got you through this year or what's coming up, it's only because of people like Jack and Gordy and all of you, all of these ladies, Lois Wilson, and all of you that have been my advocates, because I've had a very difficult time with my 2 older daughters. But you know what? You guys have been my advocates. When you see my daughters, you know, or you see Kim, you always tell them how wonderful I am, even if you don't mean it. So again, you know, thank you, Dave. Thank you so much. So again, I'm probably all over the place with my story, and it's not, you know, something that you probably have ever heard before. It's not a planned pitch or anything like that, but it's something that comes dear to my heart, and especially at this age that we're going through. And, you know, I have to thank my husband, you know, for not being an alcoholic. I could thank Bob for being Bob. And there was something in the one day at a time, I don't know, I mean, encouraged to change the other day about, you know, even if the alcoholic is sober, you know, they're still alcoholics. And but our life is good today, and it's only because of people like you that are in our lives. And I can remember Lynn one time, I was talking to Lynn and Bruce, and I was thinking about, you know, their long-term marriage and their child, their boy and all this. And I think, you know, all of us have that, and Karen V that's here, you know, all of us that have this connection, you know, because of troubles, because of situations, because of circumstances, you know, it's really a miracle. There was a question in this magazine yesterday, it said, or on Facebook, I think it was, and it said, have you had any friends for over 30 years, 20 years? And I can remember, if they asked me that question 47 years ago, I'd say, no, I had no friends. I was isolated in the disease of alcoholism. We were losing a, you know, $1 million business. We lost our child. We lost everything, you know, but we're still here. And the reason that we're still here is because we have friends such as you. I'm going to close with this prayer that Keith gave us. And I always put it on my little Al-Anon card. And since I can't give you the card, but it says, dear God, help me to accept the seemingly bad as well as the good, which is necessary for my growth. Congratulations to the birthday people. You know, I love all of you, and I love you, some of you, in a very special way. And I want you again, please don't leave this meeting tonight without getting that phone list and calling one of these guys. If you're a guy, if you're a girl, well, we do one date at a time if you're single, but waiting for guys. But remember, like Elsa said, you treat it with a light touch, and this seemingly bad thing will turn out to be a blessing. God bless all of you. Thank you for listening on Lois's birthday. Happy birthday, Lois, in heaven. We love you.